Should I start? So let me remind you where we were. Okay, so my plan is to remind you where we were, to add a tiny bit of theory that I forgot, and then that I forgot to mention, and then to start doing examples. Okay? So here's where we were. We had K, which was an algebraic structure, or a linear algebraic structure, because I took formal linear combinations, and I could have as well assumed that from the start all spaces were linear, and all operations were multilinear. Okay? So K is an algebraic structure. I is the augmentation ideal in it. A is the associated graded. For groups, it's completely clear. I think what it is for non-groups, for more general algebraic structures, require more thought. I sketched it, but it's roughly the same. It's roughly the same thing. And to make the details work, you have to think a little more. But the end result is more or less determined. There's no choice.
For groups,
given this, yes.
For groups, it's clear. You said.
For groups, I gave the complete definition.
Ah, yeah, but it's not clear what it is. It's just
no, no. It's not clear what it is. It's clear what the definition is.
Okay.
For general algebraic structures, I sketched what it is, what it means to take the powers of the augmentation ideal. But you have to be careful and do it right and say all the words. Okay. But anyway. And then we come to the following picture. So we have an algebraic structure which, generally speaking, is of topological things, though it doesn't have to be of topological things. All the good examples, the things in the structure are topological, but it doesn't have to be this way. It has its associated graded. So this space is canonically associated with it. There is a canonical association which gives you this space, which is a space of combinatorial things, like chord diagrams in the case of knots, but in general cases, in other cases, it will be other things. And often it will involve Frehley algebras. Hence, lots of people here are interested in chord. There is a correlation between this and the fact that lots of people here are interested in Frehley algebras. Then, sometimes, if you choose a specific Lie algebra, so in the case of knot, it was metrized Lie algebras, in other cases, it will be general Lie algebras, in other cases, it will be Lie bi-algebras, but basically, you can choose representations of these structures, into universal enveloping algebras or like spaces or similar spaces. So you get, so basically this is sort of universal algebra. And then we could look for expansions and homomorphic expansions. And generally speaking, finding homomorphic expansions is very hard algebra. Usually there isn't a unique one. And generally speaking, it's very hard algebra because you have to, well, basically you hope that this space will be finitely generated, and then you just have to find the value of the expansion on the generators, and it has to satisfy some relation, so you have to solve an equations, and solving these equations is generally hard algebra. Or, in some cases, such as in knot theory, you use analysis. So, the Knizhnik-Zhomolodchikov equations and things like that. And then things like multiple zeta numbers come in. And I said that just in the right time. Okay? Anyway, here's the bit of theory that I forgot to mention. So, given K and an ideal in it, there is another space which is automatically associated with K, with this, and this is the iadic completion of K. So basically, the iadic completion of K is you look at K and you mod it out by the augmentation ideal to the power m. And this forms an inverse sequence of spaces and maps between them. So basically, K modulo I to the M maps into K modulo I to the M minus 1. Okay? So this forms an inverse system. So you can take the inverse limit. And that's the iadic completion called K hat. K automatically maps into any of these spaces. These are just quotients of K. So K maps into any of these spaces. So K also maps into its completion. So hence it's called completion. And you can check that homomorphic expansions descend to maps going this way. And in fact, when you think of them as maps going this way, they are in fact isomorphisms. So a different way to say a homomorphic expansion is to say an isomorphism between the iadic completion and the associated graded, which has some non-degeneracy property. So basically, the GER of Z should always be the identity. Okay? But you see, now comes something completely automatic. If you have an object here, well, then it has a group of automorphisms, and this object has a group of automorphisms, and the groups of automorphisms of this object and of that object both act on the set of all isomorphisms between them. So if you kind of bundle them together and you look at the set of all of these isomorphisms, then it is acted on freely and transitively on the left and on the right by two groups. Okay? And these groups are called the Grothendieck-Teichmuller group of the situation and the graded Grothendieck-Teichmuller group of the situation. And and in specific cases, we will have more to say about them. In general, all I can say is that they exist. Okay? But one further word. So this group is isomorphic to this set. There are bijections between this group and this set. And basically, because any two isomorphisms differ by an automorphism. And also, there is a bijection between this set and this group, because again, any two isomorphisms differ by an automorphism. You just compose them going back and forth. So all of these three things are in a sense the same, but not canonically. Okay, they become the same only once you choose base points. Basically, only once you choose if you choose one fixed isomorphism, then you can make the then you can fix the isomorphisms between them. Okay.
What is GRT again?
Automorphisms of this structure, whatever it might be.
But you called it Grothendieck-Teichmuller, yes.
Yes, because for a specific example, because the one kind of prototypal example, the big example, for the most interesting example, it's the Grothendieck-Teichmuller group.
Okay, actually my question is kind of silly. Why does it happen?
Because Drinfeld likes puns. So this is Grothendieck-Teichmuller, and he needed the name for the graded version. So he just added GER.
Okay.
Really, read Drinfeld, he admits that this is only a pun.
I see.
Okay? So this is the theory. So, but the theory is insanely general. Given any algebraic structure, usually of topological things, but not necessarily, you get this whole picture. To be honest, only that part of the picture you get for free, but in the nice examples you also have that part. Okay, so now examples. Okay, so Are we okay? Okay. So, examples. So let the group, let the structure be a group. So K is actually now a group. And let's make it be the pure braid group on any strands going to define it, or is it now a genuine insult that we land me in hell? It is a genuine insult that we land me in hell. Okay? So basically it's the group of things like this, composed by stacking. Gur of K. So Gur of K, so maybe I should call it K, no, let's fix, no, yeah, yeah. So Gur of K will be the so-called Drinsel-Kono algebra, Tn.
Sorry, K used to be a group ring, right? So strictly speaking, you talk about...
Yeah, you're right, I should make it linear, so you're right. So Gur of K is the Drinsel-Kono algebra, which is the algebra generated by symbols Tij, where one is less than I and J and less than N, and where Tij is equal to Tji, modulo.
But then again, the envelopment, right? The strictly speaking, Gur of K will be an envelopment.
Gur of K is an algebra. Also, it's the Drinsel-Kono free algebra, not the freely algebra.
No, but you don't want to take the universal envelopment?
This is the algebra. This is not a free, I'm not describing a Lie algebra, I'm describing a free associative algebra. So it's the free associative algebra generated by these symbols, modulo relations.
Mm-hmm. And we still call it Tn, okay.
So you know what, maybe it's a bad choice of name. Okay? So I still have to tell you about the relations. But the relations are, okay, maybe best if I explain how to draw it. So basically, you draw Tij as a horizontal cord connecting strand I and strand J. Okay, and then a general element in the algebra is a product of such chords. So you can draw it this way. So this is the product of T12 with T45 with T24 with T34. Okay? And the relations are, first of all, a free relation. Basically, that things that don't touch can move across each other. So basically, this is, you know, if you think of this as a chord diagram, like in the case of knots, it's just the fact that the chords, that it's a combinatorial structure. So the relations are that Tij commutes with Tkl if Ij, K, and L are all distinct.
There's no Tii.
You're right, no TII, sorry. I'm improvising, you know, I'm giving the talk without, it's not what I planned. So I'll make little mistakes, and thank you for catching them. Okay? And then there is a relation, so one relation is this, the fact that only the combinatorics of the diagram matters, and it's often called the locality relation. And the other relation is the analog of the 4T relation. So the 4T relation says that if you have one fixed chord and another chord that starts somewhere else and can go either to here or to here or to here or to here, and the sum of the four possibilities with appropriate signs is equal to zero. So in this language, it becomes the commutator of Tij plus Tik with Tjk is equal to zero when ij and k are distinct indices. Okay, so this is something that people know very well. Okay? Now, finding an expansion is relatively easy. Just merely finding an expansion is relatively easy, though it would take me too much right now. But basically, the pure braids have a very simple structure in terms of a semi-direct product of free groups. And then you can use this to find an expansion relatively easily. Finding a homomorphic expansion is harder, but still possible. A multiplicative expansion is harder, but still possible. Finding a homomorphic expansion, so an expansion which is both multiplicative and co-multiplicative, for all I know, I don't know an algebra way to do it. So homomorphic Z's exist, but the only way I know how to do it is somehow transcendental. So you use Knijsnik Gemmological equations or associators, which is more or less the same thing. Basically, you need to do hard things. So they exist, but are hard. Okay? And and then you can ask, what are the Grothendieck-Tannhuller groups, the GT and GRT? So for all I know, nobody ever looked at GT and GRT. So even though this is so basic, I know nothing. So this is a personal statement. I know nothing about GT and GRT. Okay? Comments? Am I missing something? I mean, some people here know this better than me. I mean, Gwanel, did I say it correctly?
No, no. I'm just thinking about what you said.
Okay.
Sorry?
Yeah?
But, so can you explain in this example, for example, what should be GT of K and GRT of K? I mean, no. you said something that acts...
I can give you the definitions are written here, but GRT is the group of all automorphisms.
Okay?
So basically, it's the group of all. Maybe there isn't much interesting to say about it. Maybe it's not that. It's probably not terribly interesting, but I still never looked at it carefully. Okay, probably you could say what it is without too much.
Maybe not.
I just don't know.
Also with small n?
Sorry?
N is 2 or
something? N is the number of strands. N could be any number.
Yeah, but if it's very small, maybe...
If n is 2, then the pure braid group is Z. And then probably everything is trivial. It's very, very easy. But for n, okay, if n is 3, then it's the free group. And then again, everything is very easy. And beyond that, I'm not sure. Okay. And I'm also not sure that it's interesting. I'm not sure why you should care. I'm just stating this as an example. Okay. Maybe very briefly, a second example. Okay, I'll do a second example. Even though, it's only 10 years old. It's not 25 years old. Okay? So the second example is K is, well, the group ring of the W pure braid group on N strands. And I wish I had my rings with me, but I forgot to bring them. But basically, it's the following. So maybe I should have defined the pure braid group. So the pure braid group, a different way to say it, is that it's the pi 1 of the configuration space of n points in the plane. So you have n points in the plane, and a path in the world of configuration spaces is exactly a braid, right? So so this is pi 1 of the configuration space of n rings in R3. So you have a three-dimensional space, and you place n rings in it, and you allow them to move around, and they can fly through each other, or they can just trade places, but then they can also fly through each other. Okay? It's very easy to write it using generators and relations, in fact. In fact, it's easier than the pure braid group. So it's easier in all ways than the pure braid group. So really, you can write it as the group generated by generators rho ij, where 1 is less than I, different from j, less than n. Thank you, Tang. Same as I would have made the same mistake if it wasn't for you. So it's the group of all such things generated by these, modulo a few relations. So first of all, I have to tell you what is rho ij. So rho ij is you look at ring number j, and you look at ring number I, and you let ring number j fly through ring number j, ring number I, and come back to where it was. So rho ij means j flies through I and comes back to where it was. Okay? And the relations are, so there is a randomized, so okay, there is a disjointness relation. So the commutator of rho ij with rho kl is equal to 1. So this is a group situation. So this is the group commutator, not the Lie algebra commutator, not the bracket, but the actual distance, this inverse, this inverse. So it's equal to 1. Provided, so the convention is that whenever you have a number of indices appearing in the same equation, I mean they're all different. So I, j, k, and l are all different. Then there is the Rademeister 3 relation, or the Young-Baxter relation, which is rho 1, 2, rho 1, 3, rho 2, 3 is equal to the, read it backwards. Rho 2, 3, rho 1, 3, rho 1, 2. And finally, there is the overcrossings commute relation, OC, which says that rho 1, 2, rho 1, 3 is equal to rho 1, 3, rho 1, 2. Sorry. Oi, 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 wrong. I mean, all of these should have been general indices, I, J, and K. So 1 is I, 2 is J, 3 is k. Sorry, I. And likewise here.
But there, it's on the second one. It's important that 1 is smaller than 2 and 3, right? That's or
no, no, it doesn't matter.
But then wait.
So how do we here
distinguish overcrossing from undercrossing?
It's j flies through I. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it. I mean.
Oh, okay.
The number is irrelevant.
Okay.
Strand, so, I mean, ring number 7 could fly through ring number 3, but also through ring number 13.
Oh, you said 2 flies through 1 and 3 flies through 1 commute.
Yes.
And of course, 1 flies through 2 and 1 flies through 3 do not commute naturally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there is an asymmetry here. Mm-hmm. But the asymmetry is not between the numbering of the rings, but between the roles of the first index and the second index. Okay? Anyway, the associated graded here, so A is, you have to go through it, it's not at all obvious, but the result is you basically flatten these equations. Okay, so A becomes the free algebra generated by symbols Aij, roughly like the Tij, and they are subject to the same constraints, but they're not symmetric. I and J do not play the same role. So Aij, where 1 is less than I, different from J less than N. Modulo, the relations that are implied from here. So Aij commutes with AKL. This is the group commutator, sorry, the algebra commutator. So just the bracket, this times that minus this times that. This is the relation corresponding to this. The relation corresponding to that is A 1, 2 commutes with A 1, 3 under the same conventions that 1 is I, 2 is J, and 3 is K. And the relation corresponding to this is a bit harder to read. It's a bit harder to read it from here, but basically from the cubic term here, you take all quadratic parts. You look at all ways of dropping one of the terms. And then you get the bracket of A 1, 2 with A, 2, 3, plus the bracket of A, 1, 2 with A, 1, 3, plus the bracket of A, 1, 3, A, sorry, 1, 2, 1, 3, and 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. So 1, 3, and 2, 3. So the sum of these three brackets is equal to 0. Okay? And in fact, one of these brackets, I think this one, is already 0. So in fact, you can drop this term, and what you're left with is in fact the four-term relation of before. Okay? Anyway, expansions exist, and are easy. So expansions, so the easiest is you simply map Z of rho ij is e to the aij, interpreted as a power series. And then you can, so this is as easy as that, and then you can check that all of these, that these equations are all satisfied. So it's really easy. Okay. By the way, you could have tried the same formula over here, and the only bad news is that it doesn't work. So, I mean, it just doesn't work. It does not map relations to relations. Okay. Next. Okay, so next are a few algebraic structures.
And GT and GRT in this example?
So, with so little, I don't know. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know. With so little structure, nothing interesting. If you add, there is a little bit further structure that you can add, and then this expansion becomes unique if you add a little bit of further structure. And then GT and GRT are trivial. Okay? On the other hand, you can, well, you can extend the structure in a different direction, and then this becomes the Kashiwara-Verne problem. To find expansions become the Kashiwara-Verne problem, and the GT and GRT becomes groups that Anton studied with Torossian. Okay? Good. So, I'm getting sick of myself.
But what does one need to do to make it unique, the expansion? What is the extra structure you're adding?
Inclusions between these groups. So basically, you have this group with two strands, and you have this group with three strands, and you have this group with four strands, and so on. And there are several inclusions going from here to here, and several inclusions going from here to here. Basically, you can add a non-interacting third strand in various ways. If you have two strands, you can add a third one. If you have three strands, you can add a fourth one. And if you consider your algebraic structure to be this whole tower, namely, so this is a group, so it has a binary operation. And this is a group, so it has a binary operation. But there are also the morphisms between these groups. Then, now you can look at expansions for these towers as all at once, you know, for the whole algebraic structure written here. And then an expansion is determined by its value on this, on the first space. And on the first space, you really have no choice. There is just nothing else you can write except this. And therefore, the whole thing is unique. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay. So, I think I want to say I'm running out of steam, and so are you, but I'm sure. But there are still about four different things that I want to say, so I really want to take a little slower. Okay? So, the most natural... So, you see, in a way, I didn't yet connect the second discussion with the first. So the first discussion had to do with knots. But knots are not an algebraic structure. So I didn't yet connect this discussion with the beginning, which was knot theory. So I want to connect it, and the most naive way to connect it fails. Okay? So what are knots as an algebraic structure? So knots as an algebraic structure. Well, knots are not an algebraic structure. There isn't a lovely way to put algebraic structure on knots. There is a connect sum of knots, but knot theory is not finitely presented relative to connect sum or anything. Okay? So the right space to consider is tangles as an algebraic structure, and tangles as an algebraic structure actually contains knots. So if we will look at expansions for tangles, and therefore finite type invariants for tangles, it will contain whatever we want to say about knots. So let's look at tangles as an algebraic structure. As an algebraic structure, tangles... So, okay, first of all, what is a tangle? So, a tangle is, a disk with a base point somewhere. So, really, it means that it's really just a line, okay? But it's more fun to draw it as a disk, okay? And then a number of points on the outside, an even number of points on the outside, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with some number of them having an in arrow marked and some number of them having an out arrow marked, equal number. God, I'm confused. Did I do it right? I don't know. So some number of ins and some number of outs, a pairing between them. So in fact, if this is number one, then this is the curve. So if this is one out, then this will be the one in. If this is two in, then this will be the two out, say, and this. So basically a pairing between them. And finally, a topological, well, a list of strings connecting them. So like a string going from here to here, a string going from here to here, and another one from here to here. Let's make it trivial. And to be honest, I need to also allow a number of circle components inside. So you can also have components inside which are parameterized by closed loops. Okay? So that's a tandem. Operations, now I need to tell you what are operations between tangles. So operations between tangles are parameterized by disks with holes, so these disks, okay? With the outside disk having a base point and all of the inside disks also having endpoints, and then a planar wiring diagrams connecting these disks. So there should be some planar way of connecting these disks in such a way that, well, okay, I just wrote it. Everything should be oriented and the same conventions of counting should be the same.
Sorry, why are they planar in the operations while inside you allow for undercrossings and overcrossings?
I'll answer later.
Okay?
And finally, you can also have a number of closed components. So these are not one of these circles. Maybe I should have used different colors. So basically, if the wiring, if the wires are blue, then you must allow some standalone wires that are connected to themselves. Okay? And this operation is really an operation that takes, so this corresponds to an operation which takes three tangles and outputs one tangle. And the three tangles that you take are, so the way it works is if you have three tangles, you put the first, sorry, this should have been numbered. So you put the first one here so that the base point matches with the base point. You put the second one here, you put the third one here, and you look at all of this from afar and you see a bigger tangle. Okay, so this is an operation, a trinary operation, that takes three small tangles and produces one big tangle. Okay? And Anton, to answer your question, why not also include wires like this? Because I could have, instead of including them, I could have allowed for one further input, and in this input put a crossing. So it's just not necessary. I have the structure as I'm describing it is sufficient in order to make knot theory or tangle theory finitely presented. Okay? So indeed, with this structure, Tangle theory is finitely presented. It is generated by a crossing, and the relations are the Rademeister moves. Okay? And it's very easy to determine the associated graded. The associated graded is, so, if I'm trying to tell you what is the associated graded, so the associated graded is always a structure with the same operations. So the associated graded is still a planar algebra. So the operations are still these wiring diagrams. But what you plug inside is different. So what you plug inside is basically tangles. Sorry, tanglistic core diagrams. So there is the disk or the outside disk. There is the skeleton. But the skeleton now does not have distinctions between over and under. It's just a combinatorial list of strands. And on top of the skeleton, you have core diagrams. And in fact, you may as well allow trivalent vertices like before. So take pictures like this. Modulo. The usual four-term relation, the same relations as before. So basically, the associated graded is also very easy to describe. Good. No, maybe I'll use the remaining, this for the remaining thing. No homomorphic expansions. Had there been homomorphic expansions, the theory of associators would not be necessary. Would be vanish. Also, yeah, just wouldn't be there. Okay, why are there no homomorphic expansions? Because, well, okay, you have to look at it into it a little bit, but again, remember that this is generated by a single by single crossings. So you need to know where to map a single crossing to. The image of a single crossing will be a chord diagram on this skeleton. So the skeleton is two lines, and you can draw an arbitrary chord diagram on top. In general, this is a very difficult space, but you can restrict your attention to degree 2. And if you look at it only up to degree 2, you can write it explicitly. It's finite dimensional, I don't know, maybe 5 dimensional. I don't remember, but nothing big. Okay, so you can write it completely explicitly in degree 2. And already to degree 2, you cannot solve the equations that you need to solve, the Young-Baxter equation, the Rademeister 3 moves. So no expansions, end of story. Bad news. Okay? Okay. Next example. So, the next example, maybe also the last one. So the structure will be parenthesized braids. Parenthesized braids, God, I hope I will not forget one of the parts of the structure. Yeah, maybe I will, there's too much, but okay. But I will not forget the big chunks. I'll remember the. Maybe I'll forget something minor. So the structure is parenthesized braids, which in itself is a category. On top of this, it has several additional operations. So it has an operation D0 and D infinity. D0 and D infinity, I will explain them in a minute. It has operations DI, where I is not 0 and infinity, but in between, and I will explain them in a minute. It has operations SI, I will explain them in a minute. It has a skeleton functor, and it has a, well, coproduct, let's say that the coproduct is included in the overall story. Oh, and it has a base point, sigma. So it's a category with a few further operators, a few further things. But let me explain all of them one by one. Okay? So the category PAB is the category whose objects are, well, either parenthetizations, parenthetizations, this is an approximate spelling. So basically, it's a list of dots with a choice of kind of in which order you would multiply them if they were elements in a non-associative algebra. So maybe you would multiply these two, then you would multiply these two, then you would multiply this pair with that pair, then you would multiply all of this with this one, and then you would multiply all of this with the last one. I don't need to indicate the last parenthesis. So this is a parenthetization. Alternatively, often more convenient is to draw it as basically to indicate which are multiplied first by the distances. So these two are multiplied first, so we put them near each other. They are relatively near to this. This one is even farther away. Maybe I'll make it even more pronounced, more clear. And this one is very, very far away. So you can use distance scales to indicate this order. And alternatively, you could simply use binary trees. So you could say, here are again, how many points are there here? 5, 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The order is, you multiply these two, then you multiply these two, then you multiply this pair, then you multiply with this, then you multiply with that, so you get a binary tree. So basically the objects are parenthetizations or binary trees. Okay? The morphisms are simply braids. But they're braids with ends, with parenthesized ends. So, for example, you know, you could have a morphism from this object to this object, and it will be, well, this will be connected to this, this will be connected to this, this will be connected to here, and basically they are braids with a little bit of an additional information. Okay? So I finished describing this. D0 So D0 of a braid is, so when I say I drew here a braid, what I mean is that there is a parenthetization at the bottom and parenthetization at the top, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to add another strand to it on the left, and the convention will be that this strand, first of all, doesn't interact with anything, and secondly, is far, far, far away. So it's the outermost multiplication. Okay? Similarly, D infinity of a B will be to take B and add to it a strand far, far, far away on the right. Okay? And DI is more interesting. So DI of a braid, so what you do is you count on the bottom and you find strand number I. So strand I number I at the bottom starts at position I, but at the top might end in a different position. Okay? So what you do is you take that strand, 1, 2, 3, I, and you double it. So that's similar to the operation that I used before, doubling the component of a tangle. So you just double it, and whatever the, okay, so whatever this strand did, so it went over things, under things, this one does the same, but as a pair. Both go over, both go under. And furthermore, this is innermost parametrization. Okay? So it's well defined. This SI is you delete a strand. So SI of a braid that has somewhere strand number I will simply be the same braid without strand number I, this one removed. The skeleton is, what's the skeleton? Oh, so the skeleton of a braid, so you know, if you have a braid, the skeleton is simply the permutation underlying it. So it maps every braid to the permutation underlying it. Okay? And then you can follow the rules and find what is the associated grade. Oh, sorry, maybe even before that. And I should have said what is sigma. So sigma is simply the braid, this, the one generator. Okay? Oh, no, I don't want to erase this.
Sorry, what is sigma?
You said sigma is one individual braid. Okay, actually, sorry, so maybe I should tell you how to think of this as an algebraic structure. Okay, so I told you what are all the operations, but I have to connect it with what I called an algebraic structure before. Okay, so an algebraic structure has lots of spaces of things, okay, and operations between them. The things in this case, what parameterizes the spaces, okay, so there are lots and lots of spaces, but what parameterizes the spaces are, so each such space of things is labeled by two parenthetizations, so parenthetizations, let's call them A and B, plus a permutation in the symmetric group parenthetizations with the same number of objects being parenthesized. So here maybe I should add here A is equal to B, and in a permutation in the symmetric group of A elements. So for example, this space would be the space corresponding to A being the parenthetization this, B being the parenthetization that, and the permutation, let's call it sigma, no, sigma was used already, permutation rho, I don't know. So rho will be, so it should be a permutation in S3. So let it be the permutation this. Okay? And then the objects that appear here, okay, the objects within this space of objects are linear combinations of parenthesized braids whose bottom is this, whose top is this, and whose skeleton is that. So an example would be, so the bottom always has to be this, the top always has to be that, and I need these two to trade the last, so these two to trade places, and then this has to stay in the same place. So for example, it could be, here is a typical element, okay? Now, the operations are various compositions. So since it's a category, the operations are compositions. So, you know, you could take a parenthesized braid from here and a parenthesized braid from here, and if the B of this is compatible with, is equal to the A of that, then you can stack them together. So you'll get a binary operation where you compose these two, and the output will be in some third space here.
And those D and S, they're also operations, right?
And likewise, D and S, you know, so D will take, they basically, they add a strand, and therefore they change the parenthetizations and the skeletons. So basically, D and S also go in between these things. And on top of all of this, there is sigma. So sigma is in the space where the top parenthetization is just two things. There is only one parenthetization. So this is A. It's also B, if you have only, okay? And the skeleton, so rho, the skeleton is just the permutation that interchanges the two things. And sigma is a specific element here. No, it's the opposite. It's this one. I know that it matters, but okay? But of course, this space has many amount, many further elements. Sigma is just one element here. Okay?
Sorry, this sigma you need to choose in each in each class or
no.
Oh, okay.
Only exists only here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So minor claim. So this algebraic structure, I don't know, maybe I'll call it overall, right? So it's lots of things, but let's call it not blackboard B. So blackboard B is all of these things taken together. Okay? So I claim that blackboard B is finitely generated. In fact, in some sense, finitely presented. So is generated by basically only two elements. This one, which I don't even need to say because it was a part of the structure, and that one. Okay? So that one, by the way, as an aside, remember that parenthetizations can also be drawn using trees. So if you draw this one as a tree, so you connect these two, you connect then you connect these two, and you do the same at the top, what you get is, well, this is a tetrahedron, right? This is a tetrahedron cut open. So this is really the tetrahedron, and in some other pictures, this becomes a tetrahedron. But in our picture, let's keep it this way. Okay? So B is generated by only two things. And so if you wanted, so I'm not yet telling you what is an expansion. Okay, sorry, I'm not yet telling you what is the associated gradient of B. Okay, so you know what, let's say, so let's see B the associated gradient of B. I'm not even telling you what it is right now. But suppose I wanted to find an expansion Z going from B, a homomorphic expansion going from B to C. So suppose I wanted to find a homomorphic expansion. Then its values will be determined by its values on these two things, and it's easy to see that this one is unique, cannot be checked. So really, its value is determined by its value on a single element. So Z is, because everything is generated by these two elements. So Z is determined by an element phi, which is Z of this. But phi has to satisfy some equations. Namely, phi has to satisfy whatever relation this has to satisfy. So phi must satisfy equations, and you can check that these are the pentagon and hexagon. And then when you think carefully about what is this C, the actual, I mean, so this is so far abstract, I mean, but where does phi live? So phi lives in C, but what is C? So the meat here, and being mostly vegetarian, I'll switch to tofu. So the tofu here, I learned this from Stavros Girofalidis. So the tofu in this structure, so there is kind of simple-minded combinatorial nonsense, parenthetizations, permutations, but the tofu is the braiding. This is where the main part of the associated graded comes from. The associated graded becomes the same associated graded as for braid, so things related to Grimfeld-Kono algebras. And so phi ends up being, can be regarded as an element of the third Grimfeld-Kono algebra, so T3. And then the equations are literally the pentagon and the hexagon written with elements of the Grimfeld-Kono algebra. Now, obviously I could tell you in great detail, or I could say much more about everything, but I think at least I am exhausted. And I'm sure you are too. So yes.
Can you say again why Z, the value of Z on sigma is not part of the story? Because you just said it is done by phi, the value of Z on the generator.
Oh, so basically, if you want Z to be so Z is determined to degree 1 by the conditions that the expansion will be an expansion. So the condition for being an expansion determines Z in degree 1. And then it should also be group-like because, well, I you know, there is also a box here like everywhere else. So if you want it to also be compatible with box, then it should be group-like. and there is a unique group-like thing which starts with which begins in degree one in the right way. So basically, Z of this, sorry, not this, Z of sigma, so Z of this is forced to be the exponential of, essentially an exponential. Okay? Unlike the exponential of, well, you can't see anything because of the shadow anyway. So I'll just write something C and tell you that it's the right thing. Yeah.
I'm not sure to what extent, maybe it's not very important, but I still don't quite understand why you want sigma as part of your data. What's the role of fixing this element? Why is it needed? Just
no, it's a good question. I forgot.
Is it for uniqueness of the homomorphic expansion?
It's possible that it's not necessary. It's possible that I simply forgot. Just a second. Why do you need sigma? Maybe you don't need sigma.
Because anyways, right, you will have to map it somewhere
I think you're right.
Maybe a related question. So sigma is like in a 0 to 1 operation. Well, in particular, you say you get an associated gradient.
Sorry? So sigma is a nullary operation, so it's a constant.
When you say there is an associated gradient, so C has an operation corresponding to that. But the only reasonable thing that I could think would just be at one call.
Not just the computation.
But then it seems it's not possible to find such a homomorphic expansion that respects these operations.
I'm confused now. So maybe sigma is not necessary at the end. But I'm a bit confused. Now, you said, sorry, I don't know if you were criticizing the fact, I was saying, I might have said something, there is the appearance that I said contradictory things, right? Because at one point I said that there is no homomorphic expansion, that you can rule out the existence of homomorphic expansions for the braid group, for the planar algebra of tangles, by seeing that just this in itself cannot have a value that solves the equations. And now I'm saying that homomorphic expansions do exist. Right? Does this bother you, or did I just raise it?
No, I think if I understand correctly what Lauren was saying, that if sigma is part of the structure, then Z would have to send sigma to the corresponding part of the associated gradient structure, and this part of the associated gradient structure probably it's not the exponential, right? It has to be. We know that sigma should be sent by Z to the exponential, but then this seems to imply that this exponential is the sigma of the associated gradient. But isn't it strange, right? It's somehow that's I think that's what. Right. probably it doesn't matter so much, right? The sigma appears.
So I'm a bit confused, and okay, I have several resolutions in my mind, but I better not risk myself committing to one of them before figuring out which one is right. But I'll just say what is the history of the confusion, okay? So the history of the confusion is that back when I first wrote papers on B, my language was different, and I simply wrote you know, there is an object C here, and C is parenthesized chord diagram, so basically Drinfeld comma elements with parenthetizations, with the same collection of operations, and over here I wrote, if I remember right, simply the single chord, so you know T12 if you wish, and I said let's restrict our attention to isomorphisms, so Z, so maps Z, which satisfies Z of sigma is equal to e to the 1/2 T12. Okay? Times this sort of installed on the correct skeleton. Okay? And the stronger statement, the slightly stronger statement that C is actually the associated graded of B in this sort of universal language of algebraic structures came later, and I'm actually confident about everything except here, and now you made me confused about what the associated graded of this nullary operation is, and I think I have an answer. I'd rather not risk myself saying it incorrectly. So yes.
Yes, but the nullary operation in this context also being that from the group algebra of integers into whatever we have here. So there's sort of this one additional trivial object in the algebraic structure.
Sorry?
Like just what is a null array operation? And the question is whether it's a map from just a group of integers into that thing, or maybe in this context of a group of other integers. And then the associated gradient would be sort of that map, and then there is space for this explanation.
I'm not sure I followed. Sorry, I...
So basically the question is just, what is a null array operation?
An operation with no inputs and a single output, so basically a constant.
So he says
everything
that,
is,
yeah, he says that you can look at that as a map from just the base field or the integers or
group algebra
of the integers into the structure, which sends 1 to sigma, and then take the associated gradient of that map.
Yeah, no, I'd rather leave it as unresolved normalization issue that I didn't think about because of incompatibilities between versions, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to say. Yes?
How can I see multiple set of values not in this range?
You cannot. So, multiple set of... So in the specific case of this structure, I mean, finding an isomorphism is the same as finding an associator. There are lots of associators, but there is one special associator, namely the one coming from the Drinfeld Kono, sorry, the one coming from the Knishing Germologic of Connection. So, you know, within this big set of isomorphisms, there is one special one, the KZ associator, and or the isomorphism corresponding to the KZ associator. And it is the, and all multiple Z values come in here. So they have to do with one special element, not with the general theory.
But isn't it okay? Does the standard wisdom say that for whatever solution of the Fantabon equation, the coefficients still satisfy the same relations as MZVs? Right? So the even though there are many solutions, but...
But I have no a priori justification for this. Okay, it's not a consequence of any general theory. It would be an additional theorem for this specific situation. So, you know, it's not if I had more time. Maybe I don't know if I had more time, but what about if I had more time? If I had more energy, I would tell you that there are lots of other algebraic structures like this to consider. And lots of others, so instead of braids, you can look at W braids and then at virtual braids, and you know, various other things occur, but it will not happen now. So, again, my apologies and see you tomorrow.